And I'm just reminded what a gift it is to be able to work from home, to not commute, to be able to be close to the family, close to the kiddos. Chaz, grateful for your amazing oil community and the love and support. A to the men. Cindy, preparing for a year party tomorrow to say thank you to a couple of ladies who visit me weekly for the last few months. So true. Angie, grateful for this beautiful day. I'm going to meet my new nephew tomorrow. Oh, fun. That is pure joy. Oh, and timing too, right? In spring, the best time to celebrate new life. Maria, grateful for my family, grateful to God for opportunity to serve others in this capacity. And doTERRA as well, promoting wellness. I love it. Good morning, Tiff. How are you doing?
Hi, friends. Good morning to all of you. Hi, have you recovered yet?
Yes, we are breathing. The sun is shining. It's a new week. It's a new month. It's just all the new things, new beginnings. So Tiffany was able to come down and celebrate Max's celebration and wedding. And so grateful to have you there. Tiffany also got to see the state of the house 2 days before the reception.
Oh my gosh.
So she knows the kind of makeover we had. It wasn't a mindset. It was a top to bottom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was like, and even hours before your reception kicked off, I got some inside information and some video and images. And it was like, you guys literally know how to pull off miracles.
Well, we have a coach and a mentor who's taught us to expect miracles.
Yeah. Well, so. you guys live it to the utmost degree, shall we say.
I know that it stresses some of our staff out because they're like just white knuckling it the whole way. Like, do we really have to like expect this of everyone? Cause this is a little bit much.
Yeah. Oh, it was so beautiful though. And cute Max and his sweet, little cute sweetheart and just fun to gather and fun to have such a beautiful experience with him. You know, it's like watching his journey, and he and I had a moment where we were sharing some things that it was just like, man, it just put me in all the feels, just so much gratitude for him, you know, and his, and what he's been through and just seeing how things have come to fruition. Right.
I know. I'm so grateful that you shared what you did because Max truly has big things to fulfill. He's been promised blessings and missions, and I'm so grateful that you are in tune with that message and you feel that because it's true.
Yeah. Well, just sacred moments sometimes, right? And so it was like, oh, reflecting back and then seeing him just like glowing such cute young love and just how sweet they are and how just their pure love of each other. Anyway, it was just so sweet to see him so happy. And anyway, and congratulations of pulling it off of like what's been going on the last month at that house and with you guys. Oh, Andy Goddard.
Well, cray cray.
Something else.
And I've got a couple of battle wounds too to show it from all the cray cray.
Yeah. And you, Are you in your construction clothes today? Maybe from like, business up top and construction.
Exactly. I'm not going to show you what's down below.
Yeah. Yeah. And playing security guard too. Yeah.
All day, every day.
He's on security detail at that home, you guys, just to be clear.
Just call me mall cop.
Oh, good. Well, how's everyone else doing? I'm loving seeing this chat box light up and people sharing great news. Gwen, congrats. She said she had a new enrollment from someone off her chicken list, which is so exciting, you know, and thank you.
Especially after our conversation with Gwen last week when she was wanting to be in the right mindset and be in the right feel before she, you know, jumped in. And so way to feel the fear and do it anyways.
Totally. You know what's interesting? Can I just say something to that? Because we say that phrase, you know, feel the fear and do it anyways. It's actually, there's an actual book with the same title by a woman named Dr. Susan Jeffers. And one thing I just love that there's many gems in that book. And one of the things though, that I think is so valuable, and when you said that, my mind just went back to it, is that she talks about how underneath all fear, and everyone feels different fear, you know, fears of all kinds and so forth. And that she says, underneath all fear is the fear is, what if I can't handle it? Right. So like sometimes the fear is like in Gwen's case, what if I call this person, they turn me down, you know, they don't respond, they ghost me, or what if they think I'm just one of those spammy type people, or whatever the story is, right, that we might, any one of us could create. It's just dropping back into is like, again, the self-talk, I can handle it, right? And the fear of, well, gosh, what if I get nervous, or what if this happens, or what if that happens? It's like, well, I'll handle it. Because you've always handled it, right? And I really just thank you for saying that, because just a reminder for any one of us with whatever you're facing is just perhaps one of your affirmations can be, I will handle it, or I am handling it, or I'll figure it out. Everything's figure outable, right? Things are working out for me. Life or God or universe is in my favor. And just the reminder of that, because fear creeps in all the different ways that it does. But often it's like when you think about most fear, or underneath fear is that, again, is some kind of fear is, what if I can't handle it, right? Versus like, we will handle it and you navigate it. It's just that we go, oh, what our self-talk is doing, right? And how we navigate, because oftentimes a couple of months ago, I was having a restless night and had a lot on my mind. And I came across this post on social media, and it was like, you know, again, middle of the night type thing. I couldn't sleep. And I remember something it said was, what you're really afraid of is a feeling. You're afraid to feel the feeling, right? The feeling is what often feels fearful, right? Like how many of you have been afraid to feel rejected, right? All of us, right? When we often look at sales, why aren't we sharing more? Because if I were to ask any one of you, well, actually, let's do this right now. Let's just tune into something together. I want you to drop into and just ask your gut, when you think about your current ability, no judgment, no shame, it's just what's authentic for you. Ask your gut, ask yourself, how currently, how confident are you in your sales ability? When it comes to sales or selling, where would you rate your confidence? If you're here live, I know many of you listen to the recording, but if you're listening to the recording, participate in your own thoughts or write it down. But those of you here, if you're here live, put it in the chat box. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 feels rock solid, awesome, confident, peaceful. 1 feels, ooh, I'm so afraid, scared, nervous of sales, selling, put myself out there. Where would you rate yourself? Go ahead and put that in the chat box. Okay. I know there's more of you here, so keep those numbers coming just so we get a good pulse. Again, there isn't a right or wrong. Your mind might want to judge that, or should it be this? And your mind wants to overthink it. Just go with your gut. Okay. So we're seeing lots of different numbers, from 3s to about 8s, a lot of 5s, 6s, 7s, 4 and 5, right? Somewhere between like a 3 and an 8. Anyone else want to weigh in on that? Now, the next thing I want you to evaluate, same scale, 1 to 10, 10 feels solid, 1 feels weak. Where would you rate your passion or level of confidence in doTERRA's products? And I don't just mean that you just say the right thing, again, truly in your gut. How confident are you that doTERRA's products are quality and they would help improve the quality of someone's life? Okay, almost all of you are saying 10, handful of 9s in there. And so what's the disconnect? So look at the two different numbers and tell me where the gap is, right? What's the gap about? What's the gap between, you know, my nerves have felt about sales and selling, but I have this complete passion, confidence related to these products. Where would you rate yourself on that? Yeah, as you look at that, but what's getting in the way? Yeah, several of you are saying it's a confidence issue. It's how I feel. It's this, it's that. Well, been doing this a really long time, and likely at some level is where you're getting in the disconnect or the gap of that, right? Is in your fear. Would you say that's accurate? Your fear is like, gosh, my fear, right? Because even Victoria, when you say education, the fear is, well, compared to who or what? Probably compared to the masses, you have so much more education on essential oils of true quality and what different oils do, even if you only know a handful of them in depth. The reality is, loves, is that, again, that some kind of fear is like the fear of what if I get it wrong or how will I look? A lot of it has to do with your self-perception, right? And the storytelling. Just become conscious of that, right? It's an interesting gap to look at. And trust me, it happens with whatever group I'm speaking to or connecting with. So it's not just you. Is that's very common to say, I feel really confident in the product or service, or I wouldn't be representing it. And how much it's changed my life, my family's life. It's truly, I really believe it can help improve the quality of someone's life, right? Versus on this side, you're like, yeah, but my ability to sell it, share it, and so forth. Ooh, there's often this disconnect, right? Or the gap. And a lot of that, when you look in the gap, has a lot to do with fear, mindset. What's the story? It's like, how do I look? How do I sound? What will people think of me? Will I get it perfectly right? Right? Just consider that. Right. And so it's just this awareness, loves, of just choosing into going, oh, interesting. How fear might be showing up for me, might be getting in my way. Right. And so it's just choosing into and knowing again, what's my purpose? Purpose is a great way to help you navigate fear, right? Purpose and that clarity of vision is, why are you selling these oils, loves? Why are you sharing them? Even if it's just casually with family and friends, I know not all of you have opted in to be like, this is my business that I'm going to legit monetize, but it's just being aware is like, gosh, interesting. I get my own way sometimes because of those fears of how I'm being perceived, right? Trying to manage that image, or am I going to do it perfect? Perfectionism, by the way, is just dressed up fear. It's like fear with a nice handbag. Right? It's a Gucci couture handbag is what we call perfectionism. Because we're like, well, I'm just going to get ready to get ready to get ready. Once I'm perfectly educated, I have the perfect language, some of you are talking about, right? Then maybe I'll share. Rather than coming back to, like Cindy just said, they've changed my life for good, right? And I just need to share that gift. So true. As we come back, right? Just find that center again. If it's been a minute since you've put your why in writing, why do you share these oils? And as simple as they've blessed my life, I want them to be a blessing to someone else, right? Is just tuning into that for yourselves, because that's one of those anchors or lighthouses that helps you when the storminess of fear comes up, or we're feeling we're navigating those fears or thoughts of rejection. You know what's fascinating about rejection, though? Sometimes I have a YouTube video on this called Reframe Rejection or Reject Rejection. Is think about this. If let's say, Cindy, I ask you to have lunch with me tomorrow. I reach out and I ask Cindy to have lunch with me. And let's say Cindy either says no, no thanks, or she doesn't even respond. She just kind of is quiet. Well, I can make up a whole story about what that means. Oh, she may not like me. Maybe something I said. Or maybe I'm just not, you know, this enough or that enough or whatever. Rather than the reality is I wasn't having lunch with Cindy tomorrow when I asked her, and I'm still not having lunch with Cindy tomorrow after I asked her. I'm technically the exact same. What's different is what you make it mean, right? And I love Andy so good at this, where he talks about how we're meaning-making creatures. We look at an experience, we take an interpretation from it, and we cultivate a story about what it means, right? Versus just the awareness of, oh, interesting. So anyway, just some thoughts this morning. Wasn't planning on sharing that, but when you mentioned that, feel the fear and do it anyways, like off Gwen calling someone off your chicken list. Good job, Gwen, because what you did was face some fear and did it anyways. But it's what's our self-talk going to be? And how do we maybe start to work on closing the gap between your confidence in sales and selling and sharing? And then your confidence and your passion and belief and mission of these products. and coming back more to just, again, that genuine authenticity, the simplicity of that, which is, these have blessed my life. I'm just simply sharing with others, right? And whether someone says, ooh, yeah, I want everything off that buffet table. I want to order every oil. I want to go all in. Or they order a handful of things, or they order nothing out of the gate, right? Or for a while or ever. It's just your willingness to continue to share the gift. Does that make sense? Is that resonating for any of you today? Because it's just one of those things that you go, oh, is, can we be in love with the process of the offering, the gift giving? It's just like, for me, I love being in my little garden here at my home. I'm not just in love with the blooms or the vegetables or fruits produced out of that garden. I love just being in the experience of cultivating it and sharing it. And same thing within business is, I love the opportunity of creation and connection. And there's plenty of times I've put offers out there or met with someone and explored an opportunity and the sales contract went to someone else, or they didn't choose to move forward. That's happened many, 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 many times, right? But I still love the process of connecting, sharing, offering, inviting, right? Regardless of how they respond. Just sometimes in life, we're taking things just a little too personally, right? Would anyone else agree that a lot of your suffering and drama comes from taking things personally? I know it is for me. I say that as a fellow student on the path, but we've talked about this book a handful of times over the years, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, right? And agreement number two is, don't take anything personally. Now, that's easier to say than to practice, but man, isn't freedom found there? Isn't freedom found when it's like, I don't have to make up a story of why Cindy didn't call me back or didn't say yes. And you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of thing. It's like all the, sometimes the stories and taking it personally. It's just the awareness of, if you get in the joy, the love, Wayne Dyer says, fall in love with what you're selling and sell your love. I love that gem. Is you just in the process? I love being in the garden regardless of the outcome. And this outcomes are pretty and fun too, but being in love with the process of sharing. And a lot of this is, again, we just continue to reinforce and visit our vision and our purpose and our mindset about it is, wow, I want to close that gap, that I want to share more of this genuine passion that I have. Andy, anything you want to add to that this morning?
Oh man, this is so juicy. I love, as you were talking about that gap, this delta between, you know, my confidence and my ability to affect change, right? My ability to close a sale versus my passion for the product. You know, across the board, everyone had a gap. Everyone had, you know, probably 25-40% gap. And as I think about that gap, it takes me back to the story of Moses. Mm. And I'm doing a pretty deep dive in studying Moses and Joshua and the whole journey through the wilderness. And you know, when Moses is first given this mission, he's blown away. You know, it's too much, it's too big. Mm. And his mind, there's no way. And what are most of every question, every objection that Moses brings up is about who? It's about Moses. Mm-hmm. He's like, who am I? Who am I to be this messenger? Who am I to set this people free? Who am I? And the response every time is, it's not about you. Like, why are you making this about you? Like, just because you're the person saying the words doesn't make you the deliverer. And so it feels really congruent. In fact, Joshua, you know, at the end of the journey, it's the exact same thing. Joshua has these big shoes to fill, and he's like, but what about this? What about that? And it's the same thing. It's not about you, Joshua. So, Just a great reminder. Like it's actually kind of selfish to make it about us, you know, to insert ourselves, like, what do they think about me? That's a real pride play. And so the sooner we can step out of that, and just be like, it's not about me. I'm just the messenger here.
Yeah.
So anyway, anybody who loves a good story, mm-hmm. Moses is one of the greatest. Mm-hmm. It's just.
And what I love about that too, is how long these have been people issues for eons of time.
Yeah.
Too, right? It's like, yeah. Whether someone is, you know, Jewish or Christian or not, and believes in that as like these are literal stories, mm-hmm. even symbolically, we can all relate to, my goodness, right? Like, can't we relate to that, is how easy it is that it's like, we look at our own flaws and weaknesses or challenges, or we just take it personally, versus really how much, what for me, one of the things that I'm more conscious of lately, and just in my own personal growth experiences, is freedom, right? And often emotional freedom. Don't we all want more inner peace and inner freedom? A lot of that, again, is just in a lot of our thoughts. And we've been talking, you know, in the past, we've talked about Byron Katie's work and Michael Singer and some of these biblical references and stories too, is like, oh yes, is coming back to, it's like, what am I making this mean? You know, what these thoughts, and how do I feel when I believe the thought, this, that, or the other, right? It's just coming back to, wow, this is powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a great comment here by Pauline. I don't know if Pauline, you're down for having this conversation live, but that's a fun one.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to share and talk through this, because she had a statement up above in our, she said, are you on live with us, love? Can you hear us and see us?
Yeah. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for doing these. I've been able to catch the last couple of them. It's right before I take my daughter to school. So anyways, I just really appreciate you guys serving. And I hope you experience joy by doing these.
We do.
We do, or we wouldn't be here this long later. You know? Right?
Right.
But I just think, do you want to share a little bit of what's up for you? Because I love even one of your statement earlier in the chat box, you said, managing disappointment gets tiring. How do you feel? Just drop into your body. How do you feel when you think the thought, managing disappointment gets tiring?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about past experiences. It's where I've worked really hard or served and was either misunderstood, or people made promises and didn't follow through, or those disappointments. And so I forget, you know, you forgive it, you don't hold bitterness against the actual person, yet you remember feeling disappointed. So there's these feelings that, will this happen again? Will I put all this energy into something? And, you know, what will really come of it? And so I think I've, like, sometimes I've moved on to other things because I'm an entrepreneur. And so I guess the whole joy piece is, I believe I'm here to make a difference, and it, I believe in win-win. So, like, I'm a massage therapist and I love serving others and helping them feel better in their body. And I'll even listen to them. And I'm also a life coach, so we can do some talking, and I get paid for it. But I also experience joy just by serving, mm-hmm. as well as I get paid for it. And then they walk away happy. And I feel like I want that kind of an experience when I am doing my work. Like, when I'm working, I want it to be a joy for them, and I want to feel joy. And so when I feel like it's not a joy for others, it's like they're frustrated, they're disappointed, they're not enjoying their work, they're not enjoying leading me or teaching, or, you know, there's something there then I don't experience joy. So that's why I said when I first came on is like, I hope you guys are enjoying this because it is so helpful for so many people. And how sad it would be if you were serving but not enjoying what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And I guess I want that same joy. Mm-hmm. And that is personal. So I get it. Don't take anything personal. But I know when I've complimented somebody and they brush me off, they don't take it personal, it hurts. It's like, but don't you know, like, I really appreciate you. Oh, yeah. You know, and they don't want to take it personal. So there's this discernment that we have to go through as human beings. What am I allowed to take personal? And what should I not take personal? What am I allowed to experience joy in, even when I'm serving? And what am I supposed to just serve, even if I don't feel the joy? Mm-hmm. There's this inner discernment we each have. And that's what gets tiring is managing my awareness of, and I'm also highly empathetic. So I know some of this is my empathy. And I, so it's like how to manage that. It, sometimes it does get tiring for me anyways.
Mm-hmm. So love that. Can I just speak to like what my discernment's telling me?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, you're a really bright woman and you have a lot of answers in your head. But what I see and feel is a sad little girl who's like, I don't get validated. I'm not feeling validated. I'm not feeling seen. Is that accurate?
At times I feel that way, but at times I don't. And so I go to the things where I do get validated and I do feel good.
Yeah. So just let the emotion come out because again, I hear it in the head as like, I have all these answers and I'm this coach and I know these things, but the part of you that's having this emotional body reaction is just giving her permission that it's like, what does she need to hear? What does she need to feel? And I will give it to her. Because sometimes again, where we get tangled in relationship is we offer a gift, but the gift comes with a real clear string. Like we're only going to love the joy of giving. Mm-hmm. If we get the validation, if someone says, oh, thank you. I see you. I want to work with you, build with you. And then mm-hmm. we feel like it's validated that it was worthwhile. Right. And so,
yeah, absolutely. No, you are so right on. It's completely, it's totally that. And, you know, it makes me feel selfish, but I think our feelings are selfish.
Well, our feelings are teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're saying, so I'm just going to invite you to say, okay, how can I show up more for myself and tell myself like the things you wish, like whoever's praise and recognition, whether it's mom or dad's or some leader or this person in your mind, you've been nourishing for a while and would just love to join you in your business or whatever. It's like what you wish they would say to you. It's like, I'm going to give myself that.
Mm-hmm.
Because why, again, it can feel like such an emotional roller coaster. And again, these are practices, right? It's not about myself sharing them. I'm not sharing them from a place of like, oh, I know all these things and I don't ever have to deal with them. It's, but where we get emotionally on a roller coaster, mm-hmm. it's much where our joy and our validation and our love of the experience is based on other people's reactions. And if other people,
yeah,
you know,
I think that's it.
How they show up. And so that's really,
I think that's a lot of it. It's the validation piece, it's how somebody else is reacting or receiving, mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. I think that's a lot of it. And it's tiring sometimes just to do something because, you know, it's the right thing to do, like just out of a habit that doesn't bring joy. And so, you know, part of the, and I've done the Strength Finders, right? So I know part of it is discipline and consistency are my bottom two. And so I don't necessarily get a lot of joy over doing just something because it's the habit, you know, and positivity and empathy and achiever and communication are my upper and development are my upper five. So I've been trying to be more consistent because, you know, they say with social media, with anything, like even exercise, you want to be consistent with exercise. And my answer, because I don't enjoy being like disciplined and consistent, is I do what I love, because then it doesn't have to be like discipline. And so it doesn't always work though, that strategy of do what you love, so it doesn't have to feel consistent. So when I'm not loving what I'm doing, then it's managing that, those emotions. And so there's that part of it, I think too, as we all know, consistency is so important. And, so I know you've helped me identify the whole seeking validation piece.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, I'm a big fan of different tools and assessments for insight and learning, but they are not gospel truth.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning they're not universal. Like, it just gives you, compared to who or what, it's a languaging. Well, I think it's valuable again to say, here are my top five strengths, right? Like, I've loved the Strengths Finder. I think it's great. There's some good gems, but it's like it's like the Enneagram or Human Design. I love those tools too, because they provide some insight.
Yeah. Human Design is pretty interesting.
Isn't it? But you know what? Mm-hmm. It's not perfectly, like, in certain scenarios, I more show up in some ways and different ways, and vice versa. So do you. And so I think what matters is when we get to the clear, you know, to clear out some of the emotional energy around it and what you're making it mean about you or the joy or the experience. Now, I understand what we're talking about isn't necessarily, it's easy sometimes to understand conceptually, but to practice it, right? As one of my mentors would say, Tiff, I want you to have high intention and low attachment.
Yes.
You have very high attachment to how people need to respond for you to feel good.
Yeah.
But that's putting your self-esteem and your mood in the hand out completely outside of you. Is for me to feel good, I need so-and-so to behave a certain way.
Yeah. You know, that's really true. I thought I'd work through a lot of that. I'm also a yoga teacher. So I understand all of it about attachment and letting go. And, and it's interesting because we are to experience things, right? You know, you have an experience, and I'm not really talking about sales at this point. I mean, this can be anything. It could be your marriage, your relationship with your child, whatever. It could be your health, how you feel about your health, or I don't know. It could be anything. And yet, so we have this experience, and you know, I want to enjoy my life. So in some ways, the thing that we're attached to let go of that attachment, that's where the freedom is and the peace, and somewhere there must be more joy there. But it's hard to know when you're supposed to care enough to put the effort into something, but then how to let go of the attachment of it or the outcome. And I know it's probably a lot to do with, I like to achieve things. I like to, and so you put time into something, and when you don't feel like you did some, you know, where was it worth your time and energy? And even I'm 50, almost 54. And so you get over that 50-year-old mark. And sometimes for some of us, there's thoughts about, well, what do I want to do with the rest of my time? How can I make it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that attachment to time.
Yeah. So I just want you to receive, because woman, you're brilliant. You have all these skills and tools, and you can teach. If the shoe was on the other foot, you'd be like, okay, here's what we need to look at or focus on. Is giving yourself again more of the love and the joy, and that you're growing. I got married and then I got divorced years ago. Does that mean I failed? Does that mean that whole time I invested in that experience and that relationship was just a wash? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the 505 course and I was learning a whole lot, and I'm great.
Yeah, that's a lot to process for sure.
Right. Yeah. All I'm saying is modeling it back to you is that when you say I pour into people, and if it doesn't always go a certain place or a certain direction, that then we have, again, the story or the mindset. It doesn't mean that, oh, it was a wash. It's like a lot of the questions for me come back to, who do I want to be? How do I want to show up? What, to your point, what kind of experiences do I want to have that are in my circle of influence? You can only control how you show up. You cannot control people. And so
I love that. That's, those questions that you just gave are so powerful. And I will take some time today and think on those, because, and I think, you know, I've had 17 miscarriages, and I think sometimes I get triggered with the disappointment.
Totally. All of this, what I'm hearing and feeling and intuitively, it's like your self-love and self-tenderness, write the word self-tenderness down, because we hear the word self-love all the time, is I invite you to step into a deeper tenderness of intimacy with yourself, that you ask yourself, sweetheart, what do you need? And that you give yourself, because what I see is a sad, scared, as I let out with, I'm seeing a little girl who's like, I'm tired, I'm sad, I'm scared, I'm frustrated. And I'm just holding so much love for you, as is this community, that even though you're this rock star coach, yogini, you know, doing this, all this stuff, is like, you also get to be held. And maybe even you go let yourself.
See, I'm going to take that personal, because I take that in, everything you're saying. I just take it in, and I so appreciate it.
Okay, so just breathe, keep taking it in. And it's just,
okay. My brother is in a mental hospital right now, and it's sad, you know?
Yeah.
There's just so much pain going on for people, and it's disappointing. Mm-hmm. And I'm disappointed that, you know, and it's a lot of personal stuff that people don't want to hear about, but it's disappointing when our systems let people down. And I get disappointed, and we work so hard to get them help. And the systems protect the sick and keep the family from actually helping others, like, you know, the legal system, the healthcare system. And so there's a lot of disappointment, I guess, right now that I'm experiencing. And I'm going to go ahead and go take my daughter to school, but I will just really thank you for your words. And
well, you're just,
it matters.
Yeah, it does matter. And we're all here together. And hopefully, again, it's the space where, you know, I have empathy also for your brother, but we're focusing on you right now and you filling your cup. And I get it that it's like, we live in a flawed world. That is the reality. And it's like, it is, and there's disappointments. Our parents should have been this. The system should be this. My spouse should be that. This person should be, you know. And I get it. And I feel those same feelings at times. It's just, again, that I invite you to come home and give yourself, again, more of that love and that nourishing. And just even if it's like, it's okay to be sad and feel the sadness or the disappointments. It's just giving yourself more of that space, perhaps, to nourish you, right? And to love you and to fill up your cup. You know, we say this language, but truly is a tenderness and an intimacy with you and your little, that little girl / your spirit, where it's like, there's just time there to be nourished. And so.
Well, it is, it's the nourishing, because when you're a fighter and you fight for others, their well-being, there's a time where you do have to go back and nourish yourself. And no matter what the outcome was, you couldn't help that person. Mm-hmm. You got to let it go, but there's that pain of the disappointment of, did I make a difference for that person? Is that person getting the help they need? Mm-hmm. I advocate for my clients all the time with their healthcare systems. And, you know, it's the disappointment, I guess, is where I'm feeling. And I have to let go of being disappointed and know I showed up. I fought for the person. I fought for what was right. And even if right now it doesn't look like I made a difference, batter up, you know, next person up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have to sit this one out and somebody else can come in and fight in my place for a while.
Yeah. Can I invite you to, you know, think about perhaps, again, often we're talking about nourishing you and immediately we're then back into language about someone outside of you, your clients, your brother. Come back home to yourself. And I love your big heart and that you want to support. One invitation is I invite you, whatever you say, God, source, or universe, is right now it feels like you have to take on the whole world yourself energetically, is I invite you to move into partnership with God and be like, hey, I'm willing to practice being more in flow and being the vessel, but I don't have to fix, heal, serve, or hold all of this. And God, you got to hold that. God, can I give this to you? Mm-hmm. God can hold it, right? Or energy, you know, source, universe, and mm-hmm. different language, but it's just like move into partnership with God. And that like, I want to help this person that's right in front of me or on my table or in my yoga class or with my spouse, mm-hmm. My sibling. But the more it's
absolutely.
Like that you're in partnership where you don't have to do all of this your own.
It is. It's totally that partnership and remembering, you know, Jesus's footprints are right there with me. And it's just when I start seeing all the language about serving others, you know, because that's what I was seeing a lot in the scroll, you know, you talk about serving others and that's where it comes from. Yeah. You serve others, but at some point it's remembering that it's not all on me. So thank you so much. I'm sorry. I was a mess this morning. No. Next time I'll show up different, but.
Oh, hey. No, we're not going to do that.
Well, you know, it's not like you always want to come on video and cry.
So. Sure. But what we do, what we're about here is healing and we're about real talk.
Yeah.
And that's what's helpful. Like, so how many of you, right? Like in the chat box is on fire is like, man, I'm so grateful to be here. Every human watching this can relate to at one level or another of how either their own cup is really empty, how they show up for other people, how they feel disappointment and discouragement, even if they quote shouldn't, right? Like,
yeah, it's true.
It's a safe space. And so thank you for bringing the real, because the real is where we can actually create some shift and change. I do want Andy to have some time to weigh in on this before you have the transition though.
I love you guys. If I don't get a chance to say that, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You take care of your daughter and you can catch the recording on the flip side, but thank you so much for joining us. Sending you so much love.
Thanks everybody.
Andy, even if she can't hear that, I would love for you to weigh in on that. Like some of your thoughts and what was up to you or what you're discerning.
Well, yeah, and amen to everything you shared. and this is right back to the Moses conversation, right? Like, it's so easy to insert ourselves and say, did I do any good? Have I made a difference? Did I close the sale? And the message that I hear from God over and over again is, it was never about you. It's not about you. It never will be about you. If I want to move the mountain, I'll move the mountain. You might be the one that says the words. You might be the one who gets to stand there and watch the miracle, but it was never you. And hallelujah that it's not us. You know, like we show up every day in our uniform, and that's our job, is to put on a uniform and just keep showing up. And God is the one that controls the outcome. One of my favorite authors, Adam S. Miller, has this quote, work chained to its outcome is misery. Let me say that again. Work chained to its outcome is misery. Do what you can. Do it better than you're able and let things happen as they may. The action, not its fruit, is your business. The outcome is not your concern. It's just you and the work and the people who share the work with you. Love the work for its own sake. Perfect love casteth out fear. Fearless in love, set ambition free. And I love that quote so much that I set it to a graphic. So hear that it is, and I'll share that on the Share Success wall later today. But
yes, please.
To me, this is just a recap of what you were sharing, right? That we're so tempted to attach the meaning that if something good happened, then I have worth. If there was a positive outcome, then I did a good thing. But I believe that one of the main reasons we're here on Earth School is to learn to unattach from fruits, to show up with big goals and big intention, but to detach, to uncut, like to decouple ourselves from the outcome. You know, it's easy language and it sounds sexy, but man, it is a job to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So how many days, how many times will we choose to invite another soul into this life, even when we've had miscarriages, right?
Yeah.
My parents had over 30 miscarriages. And so I've heard, Natalie and I've had two, and so I know some small part, but I've heard some of what that feels like. Guess what? They kept showing up. They kept inviting. They kept saying, God, we're here as vessels. If it's your will, then move the mountain. But that's, to me, that is the beautiful and the rewarding path. Mm. I believe that at the end of our lives, we have a choice. We can stand back and say, what did I do? What good have I created with my life? And if we do that, I think there's always going to be a little bit of sadness, a little bit of like, you know, I probably could have done better, you know, a little bit of not that great. But if we change the question and we say, what did God do through me? What did God do through you? Then everything changes. Like all of a sudden, it's this tapestry, this masterpiece of what God has done. And we got to be a witness. We just got to have a front row seat. And maybe we played some small part like Moses. But at the end of the day, it wasn't us. It never was.
Hmm.
And so the meaning of, you know, was it me? I love your question, Pauline, because I think it speaks to the human condition. Like we're constantly looking for feedback. Like, am I doing the right thing? Am I saying the right thing? Am I making a difference? And as long as we're looking at the outcome as the validation, like I could hear in your words, Pauline, that you have made all these rules, you know, like I'll make it personal when this, but not personal if that. I'll make it personal. You know what I mean? Like that's a really hard way to live. Like, I don't know how to live by those rules that you make. Like what if your job is to show up, your job is to love, your job is to believe, your job is to hope, and then just leave it on the altar. Like, here it is, God, make of it what you will. And then just step back and say, my job is done here. And God can move that mountain if he chooses. Yeah, I love what you put in your comment. The crowns are his glory. You know, like he's the one who, he chooses what to do with what's on the altar. And the scriptures are just like packed with story after story of disciples showing up. And sometimes they do a good job of unattaching and sometimes not so much. You know, I love the story of Jonah in Nineveh, because he, first of all, he doesn't choose the mission to go preach. And then he does. And then after he preaches, what does he do? He goes and sits up on the mountaintop in the blazing hot sun and waits for God to strike down fire on Nineveh. Like he thinks, I've done my job. Now I'm waiting for God to go and consume them with punishment because I've done my job. Well, guess what? Jonah is trying to be in the outcome business instead of the service business. And he's attached to the outcome. And that's just, I mean, you, if you want to be in that business, you can try, but my experience is it's not a very fun business to be in. And it'll, ultimately that's God's business. So when we stay in our lane, oh, there's just a lot of joy, a lot of love there.
Mm. This is so good.
Sunday school, right?
Well, who knew? I think I've recently been listening to Michael Singer's latest book called Living Untethered. It's so good. He's written a couple of other really powerful books and just spiritual work of and healing and awareness. And he talks about how we all develop a list of preferences, right? And we all may decide we have experiences with butterflies or snakes, and we have a preference. I'd rather see and experience butterflies than snakes. And we have these ideas, and that when life matches our preferences, we feel happy and good. And when they don't match our preferences, then we're sad and frustrated and sad and discouraged. And part of being human is all these beautiful feelings. But part what you're saying is so right on, Andy, is like when it's attached to an outcome, when it has to be a certain preference, right? Or when someone else has to show up a certain way. Now, I'm not saying these things aren't easy, you know, or are easy to practice, but they are, it's like we're looking for freedom. And the more that we can come back to being in the journey and like, I'm in alignment with how I'm showing up because this is how I want to show up. But it's kind of like, I can only be happy if I'm this number on the scale, this exact number, or I have this thing happen or this person. It's like, man, versus really just saying, I'm going to choose to show up for the sake of it. Thank you for that, that amazing, amazing quote and graphic. And yes, please share that on the Share Success wall. So everyone else, if they want to go screenshot it, but powerful, powerful. My goodness. Yeah, I wasn't expecting this today either, but it's been such a blessing. So Maria, you find Share Success on Facebook. Just go to the Share Success Facebook page so you can find it there.
There's the link. Facebook.com/ShareOilSuccess.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. What a yummy morning. So filling. I know that my cup is full.
Yeah.
I'm so, so grateful, Pauline, for you showing up the way you did. Yeah. I know that everyone in the chat feels the same way. There's just so much love here for you and for the dialogue. You know, we're all on this journey together. We're all just Earth students who are just sharing what we've found along the way. And sometimes they're beautiful gems, and sometimes they're little dirt clods and pine cones. But ultimately, we have the blessing of sharing. And I'm so grateful for all who have shared today. So it's true. It's a gift to me.
Yes. Thank you for showing up open and real, Pauline. I so love the real talk, the vulnerability. And for all of you, it's whatever level you needed to hear this, is whether it's like, gosh, looking at closing that gap between my fear and my belief in the oils, coming back to purpose, the willingness to share, managing my mindset about the stories I might be tempted to make up, right? Versus that choosing in, as well as showing up more tenderly for all of yourselves, right? And how you navigate this, every one of you, without knowing your stories, you all have different things that are great strengths and great things. You also have tenderness big time, or disappointment, struggles, challenges. That's part of this human walk, right? Of that we're all doing, and that we come together in this community to nourish and support each other. And you know, again, come back to just simply true principles. And I invite each of you to perhaps look at and show up more intimately for yourselves in a way of, what do you need, sweetheart? And giving yourself that love and that kindness, even if you don't have a major thing up, it's just like nourishing those roots, right? Is so powerful for what we're creating. Nourish you and then nourish others, right? To me, that's the yin yang of life. Is we're showing up, doing our own work, matched with we're showing up, yes, to serve and to love and to offer. But enjoy your gardening this week, right? Enjoy just the journey of, yes, have those intentions, right? High intention, low attachment. is have the intentions for your dreams and your goals. It's June 1st today, right? Welcome to a brand new month, and set those intentions. And then know it's like, I'm going to focus most on like, what can I control and how I show up? And then I'm going to be in the experience of sharing for the joy of sharing it. So anyway, have a great rest of your day and week, everyone. We'll see you guys next week.